Hi, I'm Carrie Butler, and you're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. I have a special offer for my listeners. You can get my new course at carriebutlercoach.com/Broadway Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than they're worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Once I played a penny who just couldn't stop the beat. Yes, with roller skates on her feet. Now who loved her bees? A ghost is recently deceased. A real cool mom. Musical version of Tina Fey. Tina Fey. Now come with me and fly. Fly. I am your host, Miss Carrie Butler. Together you and I are brave.
Hello, welcome to Breaking Broadway. I am so excited to have my guest, Angie Schwor, here today. Angie is a triple threat who is currently in Some Like It Hot, her 12th Broadway show. You also may know her from Angie in The Prom. Interesting, you played yourself. And Ula in The Producers. We did Catch Me If You Can together.
Yes.
Welcome, Angie.
Hiya. I'm so happy to see you.
So happy to see you too. I feel like you are a muse for so many choreographers that I know and love. Tell us about journey to becoming a Broadway dancer, performer, actress, singer. Well, did you always dream of this?
Honestly, I don't think I knew enough. I grew up in Northern Kentucky and I didn't really know. It wasn't like from the get-go when I started dancing at 5 years old back in the covered wagon days that I didn't go like, I need to do Broadway. I don't think I knew enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I really was just a dancer my whole childhood, once a week, half hour tap, half hour jazz, half hour ballet, acro. And I loved it. And then I was until I went to college. I went to NKU, Northern Kentucky University, a little college in my hometown, where they said you need to speak and sing. You know, then I started sort of learning that. And then I believe maybe the Broadway might have come onto my map a little bit, right?
Wow. When you were growing up, you only did like an hour of dance a week?
Yeah. And we did the competition.
Me too. How is that possible that you're so good and I'm so bad?
I did. You are not.
Oh, you know I am. It's okay. It's okay.
I've seen you dance. That's how I became obsessed with you in Hairspray. Don't even try it. I think we did the competitions, obviously not as competitive as it is now. You know, it's crazy. I wasn't that, but I did do the dance competitions, the DEA and those kind of things. But yeah, I think it was once a week. And then in high school, I started teaching. I started teaching, assisting at my dance studio. But in college, they were like, you need to learn to sing and speak. And I did started doing the acting classes and got sort of my first little role as Lois Lane in Kiss Me, Kate in my college and stuff like that. But then I was working at Disney and I knew so many people that were working in New York, that moved to New York, that in my eyes were so much more talented than I was, and they weren't really working. So I just stayed at Disney because I thought I might as well stay where I have a great job. I was dance captain. I did all these convention shows and it was a great company to work for. I loved it. So I even put a down payment on a house.
No way.
Yeah. Because I was going to just live in Lake Buena Vista.
Yes.
And it was
that's my dream.
Yeah. And it's one of those that you build, right? And then DJ Salisbury, who was a PA on Will Rogers Follies, called me on a landline in the entertainment office and said, I think you should come up and audition for Will Rogers Follies. You are too young to know that show, but
I know that show.
One of the prerequisites is they wanted you to be over 5'8", and I'm almost 5'11". Well, I've probably shrunk a little now, but so I did. And so I don't know that that's the way my path was, but I don't know that I always just thought that's where I need to be. And then
how did
now
he find you?
32 years later, I'm here. Oh, sorry, I missed that part. He was my dance partner at the Diamond Horseshoe at Disney.
Oh my gosh.
So you never know who you're working with, right?
That's right. Be nice to everybody.
Because if I wasn't, he certainly wouldn't be calling on the landline having me come up and audition. So
and
I don't know
that
I ever set my sights on it, but then it sort of came into my path.
That's so cool. Well, it was meant to be.
I guess.
How did you get so close with like Jerry Mitchell and Casey Nicola?
Well, Jerry was in the ensemble of the Will Rogers Follies.
Oh.
I moved here on February 8th, 1991. I started rehearsal for Will Rogers February 9th of 1991. So that day, that first day, and my anniversary is coming up.
And
so February 9th, I always try to see Jerry and Troy Johnson and John Ganon lives in LA and our late Jason Opsahl. But they were my boys because I was a swing. So my dressing room at the Palace was up on, I guess, I don't remember, the fifth floor maybe. And that's where the boys were.
Oh.
So I got to know them very well. And that's how I, first day of rehearsal, Jerry Mitchell started taking me under his wing. I swear to God. He was like, hey, we're going to watch, he had just choreographed Heart's Desire in Cleveland or something. He said, we're going to go watch it at my house. You want to come over? You know, boom. It was first day. Love it first day.
Wow. Wow. And so for those listening, Jerry Mitchell, if you don't know, is one of the top choreographers on Broadway. He did Hairspray that I was in and also Catch Me If You Can that both of us were in. But I mean, tons and tons of
directing,
musicals and directing. Yes. Yes. Legally Blonde. He's so, so talented. And what about Casey?
Casey and I were two ships that passed in the night in Crazy for You. I did the first national of Crazy for You and then came and replaced on Broadway like the last couple of years. He was already gone because he was in the ensemble too. And he had already started his new path. So we were kind of two ships that passed in the night. Then I auditioned for him for Minsky's. I believe this was 2009. I had just finished doing Young Frankenstein. I replaced in that after the producer. And I auditioned for him. And I just remember the one thing I remember, it was called Minsky's. It was a show that was supposed to come in. It went to the Pantage, the Amundsen in LA. And I remember the cards you used to get at auditions, the little white card, and you would fill in your name.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, your sizes.
maybe what part or what the show is. And then it said age, and I put old in big count. And he said it out loud. He thought it was so funny. And so I auditioned for Minsky's. And that's when I started working for Case. And then a couple years later, he asked me to do Something Rotten workshop, which became into a show. He had me do Prom, which he said, we're calling this character. We call her your name. We call her Angie Schwartz right now. We call her Angie Schwartz.
Yeah. And yeah. So they wrote it for you, right?
And then they just never changed the name. It's Angie
so
Dickinson
cool.
in the show, though. For those of you who know who Angie Dickinson is. And then the first day we just opened Prom and what was that, 2018? And he started working on Some Like It Hot. And he asked me to come in with all the principals and I read all the girls. And Minnie didn't really exist. It was Beanstalk. It was a man. And then Minnie was the drummer. And then Minnie sort of became who Minnie is now, which is sort of the band manager / Sweet Sue sidekick.
Oh.
So that's my Casey love story. And I always, and you know, Scotty and Mark, of course.
Of course.
For some reason, they always just keep me in their pocket. And I don't know why, but I'll take it. And I love it. And it's joyful. And Casey's joyful. And
oh, you know, yes. People, so joyful.
You respect him so much and you never want to disappoint him. But we get to laugh and have so much fun too, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's my Casey and Jerry love story.
Did you ever, because now both of us have been in the business forever.
I'm a lot older than you, don't
you? No, you're not. You're not. Did you ever go through a difficult time when you wanted to give up?
You know, Carrie, for some reason, and I don't know if this is just because I'm not trying to belittle anything that I've done or belittle my talent or anything like that. But every time a show closes, I'm not sure there's going to be another one.
Well, me too.
Yeah. So what is that? I don't know what that is, but I always go like, well, yeah.
I think it's just realistic because there's so, I mean, when you get cast in something, for most people, it's like you are the absolute perfect person to play because there's so much competition out there.
Yeah. And it's you know, I feel like when I started out 32 years later or 32 years ago, the competition wasn't what it is now. I mean, these kids are amazing and they have so much more at their fingertips than I did. Right.
Yeah.
You can emulate, you watch videos.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We didn't have any of that.
Go to Colony to get sheet music.
Yes.
And buy the book. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We didn't get to go like, oh, let's watch the performance of this, you know?
Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
And I think it lends itself to more competition and to them just being better and more fierce.
Yeah. Yeah. I never thought of it like that, but I think you're right about that.
And workshops and master classes, there's more of those things. And I mean, even before COVID, you know,
they
became more prevalent during COVID too. Sorry, go ahead.
So when the show closes and you think you're never going to work again, you don't get depressed about that. You're just like, oh.
I don't know. I guess I do. I guess there's always that post-depression from when you just come down off of a great high. Prom was very depressing for me. Because I wanted it to last longer. And
it was so good.
And
yeah.
It was so joyful to me. I just didn't know why it didn't catch on fire. You know what I mean?
But it has now.
Exactly.
For sure.
Yeah. And you know, then they did the movie and then now regional theaters are starting to do it. So the story is being told. I just kind of wish it could have been with me.
Yes.
A little bit longer. I think I was in the middle of doing Something Rotten with Casey. Mm-hmm. And they started the ball rolling for Prom, right? Same with
was Prom one of the highlights of your career, like having a part named after you?
Well, I guess it's still the little kid from Kentucky kind of goes, I can't believe that actually happened. But I have so many people going, hey, I'm going in for Angie at Pioneer Theater. And it just kind of cracks me up. I'm like, oh my God. I feel like it's a little a nice little notch in my belt from this little, you know, toehead kid from Kentucky who, you know, sings a little, dances a little, acts a little, you know what I mean? So I feel like that is definitely a highlight. And then my whole Ula journey was sort of my first principal role because I did understudy a few times. You know, I'm very specific to what I can and can't understudy. But Ula was that first big thing for me. So that always has a special place in my heart.
Yes. Yeah. And that was like the hottest show of the time.
Yeah. It really was a really wonderful time in my life too. Angie and Ula obviously are biggies for me. And now Minnie, I'm very much enjoying Minnie because I get to sit at the drums a lot.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to see it. My family all saw it without me while I was doing Beetlejuice and they loved it.
I knew you couldn't see it yet because you were still working.
Yeah, they loved it, but I'm going to come see it for sure because they absolutely loved it.
But it's again, I get to do a little bit of everything. And so
fun.
Thank you, Casey Nicola and Scotty and Mark for taking care of me.
Yes.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club.
computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So this podcast is for, you know, young actors starting out so they can hear about the business. And I'm doing a series on like how we are athletes and how we have to take care of ourselves, which I have felt like I've had to do so much more now than when I was younger. What about you?
I honestly, religiously still take dance class.
You do?
I do. That's why I'm after I get off with you today, I am heading to Deb Roche at Step at 3 o'clock.
Wow.
It's an hour and a half class. It's a great warm-up.
Oh my gosh. So you're in a show and you're taking dance classes during the day.
If I can get there, I do 4 times a week.
Wow. Good for you.
If I can get there, you know, we're doing, sometimes there's little PR things,
right?
There's photo shoots
and
stuff, we're doing.
And stuff like that.
But I will get there about 4 times a week. Again, Casey takes care of me in the show. I do not flip and do all the things that the tinier, younger people do.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does, and this is something I think is very important, it kind of evens out what you do in the show so that you know what I'm saying? You kind of...
Yes, 100%.
You favor one whole side. I don't really have to kick much or anything in the show, but you favor one side, so it sort of evens me out. And honestly, when I was doing Ula, I did the same thing because I was much, you know, when was that? 20 years ago. I was much younger. I didn't have to warm up. I could literally plop down into the splits and be ready to go.
Really?
But I did Deb Roche religiously. Right? And sometimes it's kind of fits in right before the show where like to not, like today it kind of does. So it literally is like sort of your warm up for the show. But you're right. It is very, you do have to, you spend the rest of the day as you would revving up to do whatever it is, you know, however you have to eat, however you have to warm up vocally, whatever we have to do. So yeah, I think it is very much in a way athletic.
I just started doing Pilates and I love it because I feel like that is really balancing out my body from the same thing, doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, I think Pilates is wonderful. The reformer is, I pulled a hamstring. I pulled my groin muscle very badly on the first national and I cut out the splits for a little while. And the reformer is what rehabbed me. And knock on wood, wherever I have it, it never recurred.
Wow.
So that is, Pilates is awesome.
That's great. Do you have to do a cool down after the show or anything like that?
No, not physically. No. I just walk to the subway, walk the stairs, walk home. You know.
So you're not in pain all the time after like dancing your whole lifetime?
Randomly, not yet. I don't know.
Not gonna wait yet. Because I'm in pain all the time.
No, not yet.
I'm like, how am I in pain? I don't even dance.
I don't know. I mean, I hate to jinx myself.
Maybe it's the dance classes.
It could be the dance classes. And there was
you're
a
still
time,
working the other muscles. Yeah.
There was a time and it might have been with you. It might have been doing Catch Me if we were trying to figure out when I still lived in Jersey. I went to Lifetime Fitness and did a half hour swim every day.
Oh, I love swimming.
Swimming is one of the greatest things. And it
also for singing too.
Yeah.
Because it opens everything up.
And you can do like, you know, little trills as you're swimming.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to do that as a warm up too.
I'm not like killing it doing the freestyle I do a nice breaststroke.
Me too.
Really lengthens your muscles and keeps them sort of sinewy. And I think it's all good. It's too much rigmarole for me to swim in the city in the winter. I'm cold all the time. So, but definitely is something I do in the summer.
What about, do you have a routine for like what you can eat before shows and things like that?
It's so weird as you get older because it's like, you just can't eat too. I just feel like you can't eat too much. You know how it is. And even if I'm not flipping, I still have to dance and be quick on my feet. I don't want to feel like, but I'm a pretty simple eater. I have the palate of a child. So I'm a turkey sandwich girl and a chicken noodle soup and maybe a slice, you know, I'll just have a little something. And I try to eat an hour or two before, you know, so it's not, but yeah, I eat pretty simply, but I just make sure you just don't eat too much. Cause you feel better dancing when you're not feeling heavy. Yes. Like you just ate, you know, too much food. Sometimes too, as I get older, you know, the acid reflux from certain and stuff, you have to watch.
That affects so many performers.
When I was in the producers, I was saying to my friend, Sarah Gettlefinger, I was having some acid stuff, and my late father was still alive then, and he was a doctor. So he prescribed, Protonix for me? It was an antacid, where, and I go, I don't know why I'm having it. She goes, well, what are you eating at night? And I was like, I don't know, just a little cottage cheese with some seasoning salt on it. She was like, before you go to bed. I was like, yeah, is that bad? You just got to watch all those kind of things, spices and things, you know.
Yeah, it's true. What is your best advice for people starting out?
Well, we already hit this one about being kind.
Yes.
And being good to anyone that you come into play with in a show, in auditions, work ethic. And it's about treating people from front to back, front of house to back of house, everyone in that theater, treating them with kindness and respect, because directors find out, right? They know.
Yeah.
But I would say cultivating as many relationships as you can. For instance, I don't know if you do a lot of regional theater or have, but I do when I'm not doing a show. I have a couple regional theaters that I like to work at. And it's always these great young people. Some of them are non-ec, some of them are equity, that you get to watch and work with. And I feel like doing those kind of jobs, especially as a young person, especially if you're non-equity still, is how you can sort of cultivate relationships, because there are going to be people like me in the show or like you in the show that have connections, and they see how you work. They see how you work for those 3 weeks in rehearsal. They see how you do your 8 shows a week. So you're actually in it with them, and you can recommend them right before prom, I did a whole list of kids I had just worked with at, I think it was in Mamma Mia I had done at Ogunquit. And I listed their names, the things that they were good at, some of the features they did in the show and how strong. And again, it's because they were on their gig and were kind and had great work ethic that I paid it forward for them.
Oh, that's so nice.
Now, I don't know that none of them made it into the show, but they got their name out there, and you never know when one will hit, you know?
That's right.
I think it's that, and cultivating relationships and then sort of saying yes to anything that comes your way. Because
yes, when you're young.
You know that. Yeah, you know that. Sometimes we have to say no now, but like.
Yeah. But then, you do things for free. Because again, you're building relationships. You might be every time you perform, you're learning.
Yeah. And you don't have your kids yet. You don't have, you know, your family that you need to be home for. So it's saying yes to any of those things, because they're going to lead that's the way your path is supposed to go. And it's going to lead you the right way. Right. I say this to other people. It's different for you because, you know, you're a big Broadway star, Park and Barker. If I only tried to do principal roles once I ended the producers, I would have missed out on 5 more shows.
Yeah.
Give or take. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me, it's not always the same for other people, but for me, that's my path. Because
me too. I'm like, because right before Catch Me If You Can, I played the lead in Xanadu. And I'm like, I just want to be like a member of a company where one time I'm the lead, one time I'm the supporting character.
Yeah.
And because we both just love to work.
Right. Right. So
like being a star. It's about just loving the work.
You have to make, everyone's different, but I recommend that for everyone. I'm sure some people do know this story, but Minnie, my character, I said yes to this. It was an ensemble part. I said yes, because Casey, I'd do anything for Casey and Scotty and Mark, right? And then Equity came in mid-December and made me a principal.
Oh my gosh.
Because I'm nobody else in the whole show. And I don't know what all the stipulations are. But what if I had said no?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, listen, I'm still doing the exact same thing I did when it was a, you know, ensemble contract that right. It is principal, but they made me a principal. So I always think about that. Like, who am I to be like, say no, especially after 3 years of a pandemic, right?
Right.
But it just so worked out that this is where it landed.
And how do you feel doing it? Do you feel like, oh, I should be the lead? Are you okay?
No.
Oh, good.
Never.
Yeah.
No, listen, I feel like even when I was Angie, when I'm Angie in the chorus, she was a chorus girl, right? She was Angie, but I was a principal. I still feel like I'm in the chorus. I'm a chorus girl. I feel like I'm principal. I'm the same person. I do. It's just, I'm doing the same thing. I love it so much. I love to be on the Broadway stage. You could put me in the back corner and I will create a whole scene by saying nothing. I'm good. I'm really
and that's,
good.
That's a great thing for people to know about too, that like always have your backstory. No matter how big your part is, you could steal the show with no lines.
Exactly. But you also have to be careful. You know, there's a fine line to fully focus. But I think that's another good thing for young people. And again, these kids are coming out quadruple threats from these conservatories and schools. And they already know this. But sometimes you don't get choreography. And there's two or three eight counts that you got to swirl up. You know, there's a scene. And if you don't do anything in the scene, you're not doing anything.
So, it's up to you.
Yeah. So, and I love that Casey, he does that a lot. I love it.
Mm-hmm. He gives a lot of freedom.
Yes. And for instance, in the opening of Something Rotten, I just vaguely remember why I jumped up on a box. I'll have no idea why I did that. But, you know, it was like, Angie, this is your path. You're going to go here. Boom, 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 and you end up there. And so then you sort of fill in the blanks of how you get there in the genre of the show, you know, in the essence of the show or whatever section of that the opening number is. So I love that. I think it's more creative too. And Casey's great like that. He loves when you just come up with stuff. And sometimes he'll be like, no. But, you know, I think it's great. And people have to learn how to do that because you fill in the blanks and that helps them seeing their, you know, their idea come to fruition too with you adding things.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being with us, Angie.
Yay.
So tell people where they can see you aside from Some Like It Hot on Broadway. Please go see it. I heard it's amazing and I can't wait to see it.
Yes. Come see us at Some Like It Hot. And I'm on my Instagram is at Angie Schwor, AngieSchwore.
Well, thank you so much for being here. It was a joy seeing you and hearing all of your stories and sharing your wonderful insight with all of us. I love you.
You're so welcome. Love you. Love you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. If you would like me to come to your school or theater group and give a masterclass or a talk back, please reach out at carriebutlercoach.com. If you like this podcast and want more episodes, please go to bpn.fm/breakingbroadway and subscribe, like, or share.
Together, you and I are breaking.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family,
cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.